Good afternoon, this is Carol Moyle, Committee Assistant, Environment and Energy Committee. Today is Wednesday, April 27th, 1:30 p.m., Hearing Room E. Agenda for today will include a public hearing on House Bill 2625 relating to cottage industries, House Bill 2741 relating to noise control on firearms, Senate Bill 121 relating to preliminary permits for hydroelectric projects, and if time allows, the work session on Senate Bill 212 relating to energy forecasts and the Oregon Department of Energy Energy Plan.
Meeting of Environment and Energy will come to order. Clerk, if you will please take note of those present.
Physically or mentally?
Carol, do you have the tape recorder going? Okay. If you will please take note of those present. Those not here are excused. We have a hearing on three bills today. We have several people signed up on two of those bills. We will be having a public hearing on House Bill 2625, 2741, and Senate Bill 121. We need to untable, and I would ask for a motion to untable, House Bill 2741 and House Bill 2625.
So moved.
Okay. Representative Troup moves that we untable House Bill 2741 and House Bill 2625. Any debate? Any opposition? They are untabled. We will ask for those people waiting on Senate Bill 121, we will take that last. And I know there are only two of you, and I have to ask, is Bob Freemark? Are you from some distance? Are you right here?
No, I'm right here.
Okay, thank you. We start out with House Bill 2625 relating to cottage industries. We have, starting out with testimony, Representative Anderson, who introduced this bill, along with Representative Jolin and Representative Markham. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We're bringing you today House Bill 2625. I'd just briefly like to say why the bill. The scenario goes something like this. Back in Douglas County, the Chamber of Commerce and people from our economic development, Coos Kerry Douglas, and various citizens had suggested that we publish a directory and have a tour of the cottage industries in our county. We have a lot of them out there. Candle makers, stained glass works, carriage works, model builders for the Atomic Energy Commission, people making high-tech component parts, people who are appraisers, insurance people who have secretaries. Any number of occupations are out there, and we didn't quite get met at the door with a shotgun, but almost, when we thought we would publish this directory and have tours as an economic development thing, because these people were literally trembling in their boots that they were illegal once they hired the person next door to come in and sweep up the shavings from the carriage works or whatever type. I guess it came to a head with the carriage works. And certainly if there's any home type of occupation out on a farmland area, it ought to be restoring of old buggies and carriages. The minute they hired somebody to come in and assist in the job, they were found in violation of the zoning and they had to abandon the project. In short, we do have problems out there. I'm not to say it's not going to be a controversial thing, but that's why the bill is before you. Representative Jolin, Representative Markham, our co-sponsors, is Representative Trahern, and I believe they would like to give a few remarks.
First of all, for the record, I am State Representative Peg Jolin from District 44. I reside in London Springs, Oregon. And by the way, I'm delighted to be before you. I believe this is the first time I've been here this session. It's kind of neat. At present, most zoning ordinances allow a person to operate a business from his or her home, but only those people who live in that home or are closely related to the owner are allowed to work in that business. This presents many difficulties for the business person who needs the assistance of a secretary or a salesperson but can't afford the storefront type office location as a rental or a purchase in a specified business zone. While he or she can operate the business, they can't legally allow another person to work on the premises. The sponsors, including myself, of House Bill 2625, would like to liberalize the zoning laws to encourage small businesses through these hard times. But we are, of course, concerned that such uses would not be abusive. Therefore, the bill includes the provision that the governing body of the county may establish reasonable conditions of approval for the establishment of such occupations in the home. I would strongly encourage your favorable consideration of this measure, and I'll pass it on down to Bill.
Welcome.
Madam Chairperson, members of the committee, I'm Bill Markham from Riddle, representing District Number 46, Southern Douglas. I have to be careful here. Northeastern Josephine County and Northwestern Jackson County. And I think that the two previous people have articulated the problem and what our wishes might be in this area, and we have some excellent witnesses here to testify that have already signed up, so I'll defer to them. Thank you very much.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
Madam Chair, after floor debate today, maybe we better ask Representative Jolin what's the meaning of reasonable.
Oh, my gosh.
Forget it.
For the members of the audience, Madam Chair, today we had a hazing bill on the floor. Sororities, fraternities, etc. Will put those young people through a little rigorous routines in order to sign up and join and be accepted. And there was a question in the bill on one of the lines. Well, I had several questions. But what was it? Substantial nudity. I wanted to further define that particular couple of terms. And throughout some of the conversation, it was stated by one of the persons dealing with that, who happens to be an attorney, you know, use your imagination. So that's what we're discussing. You did not want to pursue that.
No. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Tripp.
I'd like to ask Representative Anderson what he means by the term accessory use.
What line are you in?
Well, see, it's in the, it's actually in the major summary. I mean, if you would relate to where that's described in the bill and just give me a little, just not sure how far it goes. I'd be curious to see the parameters of the discussion we're dealing with.
Second. Madam Chair, Representative Troop, I think the accessory uses, as I would define them, would be those things that I enumerated, home occupations, stained glass works, model builders, et cetera, et cetera. And certainly not to mean large corporations. And I think the committee may want to get into discussion of some more parameters.
Representative Anderson and Representative Troop, I know the summary does say defines home occupation, small scale business carried on by resident of property as accessory use in dwelling and etc. But on page 2, line 28 and 29, that section has been deleted, where it says home occupations carried on by the resident as an accessory use within dwellings or other buildings, which leads me to the question of why has that been deleted? What was the purpose of deletion of lines 28 and 29?
Page 2.
Well, Madam Chair, I believe that was deleted so we could go with the new language in section 2.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
I have a question on what is amended in Section 3, or is it just the only amendment is the taking out of that section?
That is the only part that's taken out. Section 2 is a new language. The only thing different in this bill would be the deletion in Section 3, lines 28, 29 on page 2.
Madam Chair, I might say I relied completely on Legislative Council to draft this bill and had no ulterior motive in dealing with any EFU zones or farm zones or whatever.
I recognize Representative Anderson, because we've talked about this, that you have not, and I do think there probably is some problems with, on the first page, with lines 12, 13, and 14 in buildings constructed, what that might entail and what you can do. And I would like to have, since we have several people signed up on both bills, like to have testimony, and if committee members have some questions, I do have Elizabeth Norman here that can answer questions regarding the bill and how it affects current law. But I do want the public, because we can always do that at a work session also, I want the public to be able to testify on this bill today.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to ask those people, we have several people that have come from some distance on the next two bills, that if you have testimony that is similar or saying the same thing that somebody else in front of you has just said, that you might just say, I agreed with a previous speaker on this, because we have a number of people signed up on both bills. And with that, I would call Mr. Hart from Douglas County Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the committee. Thank you for traveling this distance to be here for this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. My name is Frank Hart, and I live in Winston, Oregon. And people on the chamber keep telling me that I'm the father or the grandfather of this idea. I'm not sure that that's true. It did arise as the result of our family taking a trip to Ireland. And we did happen to run into literature and telling about the cottage industry laws in Ireland. Of course, the problems are different in Ireland. The people there are sitting in their cottages doing nothing, and they are presently unemployed. And so the government has embarked on a program encouraging them to learn how to do things, how to use essentially artisan skills, to knit sweaters, to make pottery, to do glasswork, etc. And the law has a completely different tone in that they are offering to train people and giving them rewards and assistance. In this case, in Oregon, since the last year or so, the Douglas County Chambers of Commerce have been much more active than in the past, and we have been having monthly meetings where we go around to the different communities, and I think in our own community, we are astounded to see the amount of resourcefulness and ingenuity being used by various citizens who moved to the area essentially to live a nicer life, to live somewhat in the rural part of the state, to be able to go fishing and hunting. There are people who formerly ran much larger industries. They have a certain amount of capital, but they want to keep those skills up. And as one of the representatives mentioned, why we have people in the state who have high skills that they brought here in light machine work, artisan crafts, painting, pottery, woodworking, the packaging of dried or prepared foods, electronic subcontracting, engineering, architecture, and model building. These are people who essentially do not have the resources to go into an industrial area, erect a plant, and invest several hundred thousand dollars on the gamble that an industry will succeed. What we're hoping that this law will accomplish is encourage people with skills and some resources and a lot of energy and drive, create a more or less of a breeding ground that would, and from this activity, some industries would spring to life that would then move into the industrial areas. In the meanwhile, we want to give them the chance on their farms or on their property, as long as they're not abusing health and safety laws or using excessive amounts of energy to use these skills and this energy and this capital, and to hire, we've recommended three full-time people or a maximum of five people, including part-time, in the carrying out of these projects to see if we can't find another way besides subsidizing, which is what is going on presently in the state and other states, to bring attract industry. It's no cost to the taxpayer to let these people use their energy and their resources and their skill to develop employment within the state. And, unless you have questions, that's the essence.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. I understand that you also manage or run the Wildlife Safari.
That is correct.
That is a wonderful tourist attraction, a wonderful place to go in Oregon.
Thank you.
That's great. Nice job. Thank you for coming.
That's nice to hear. Thank you.
Ethel, I'm not going to pronounce this last name right, I'm afraid. Babla?
Madam Chairman,
Dibala.
What is it?
Dibala.
What is it? The first section two is new. Is that it? That's new language.
The new language is in section two, and then in section three, page line 28 and 29 has been deleted. That's the changes. Welcome. Sorry, I didn't do very well on your last name.
That's right. Madam Chairperson and committee members, I'm representing Scottsburg area, and we are in favor of this, because it would help several little places in our own community. And our business is one. We have is a cottage industry. And the state has even asked us they could help us to export our product, which is a meat product. We are federal inspected, but if we go through this, we would have to hire somebody to help us. We couldn't do it on our own. And there are a lot of people in our area that are out of work that come quite often and ask if we have any kind of work that they could do, clean up or whatever. But with the laws the way they are now, it makes it just about impossible. And these people live on our own road. We live out in the country. We have 25 acres. Our plant looks like a house. It fits right in. Nobody can see it. We have so many trees around us. We are zoned. We had to go and get new zoning so that we could build the plant. And this is what other people would like to do to be able to do it. But then we didn't expect it to grow like this. We thought this is something my husband and I could do. As we got older, it would be on our own property. We'd have a small income to supplement Social Security or whatever. But it has really grown, and our son works with us. But it's gotten to the point now where if we do go ahead and let it increase like it is doing, we need to have the laws changed so that we could hire local people. This would help the economy in our community. They would be paying more taxes. The taxes would be paid on the wages. And it would provide people to help support their families when things are so bad right now, especially. And this would be the way to go, we feel. The things that we have today at one time started in somebody's garage or their kitchen or maybe in their barn, but it started as a small thing, and it has grown, and now they're big companies. And this is why we would like to see it pass.
Madam
Representative Parkinson.
Mrs. Dibala.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your business? What it is?
We have a beef jerky business.
Beef jerky.
And it's made the old-fashioned way with no preservatives, no chemical additives, and we're one of the few. In fact, as far as I know, we're the only ones that don't put any kind of chemicals. It's the same thing you'd probably used 100 years ago to cook with, salt and some natural spices that have no preservatives in. We've had to go and have this documented that the spices we buy have no preservatives. And like I say, we are federally inspected. We're limited to how much we can make at this time. We have no retail sales because they don't want... It's a logging road that you have to come. International Paper owns a logging road. They have no objection, but the Land Planning Commission doesn't want, or not maybe them, the DEQ or something. Anyway, they didn't want us to have extra trucks or vehicles on the road. Well, we have a lot of people on our road that are out of work that could go a mile and go to work and not cost them a lot, because the kind of work we do isn't a skilled labor, but it would add to their income. And that's the type we have. Now, we have an herb business that they just do it themselves in their own home. And they're shipping it all over. It's gone good. But they can't expand. What they're doing is trying to move someplace where they can expand. And ours would eventually go into commercials area, maybe like Reedsport, someplace like that. But this gets you started so that you can then advance and go on and hire more people.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Priestley.
Ms. DeBall, I probably should have asked Mr. Hart when he kind of got up and got away. Now, because I was hoping we could kind of get into this a little better. You have this business that's going now.
Yes.
Now, what do you want to be able to do that you can't do, but with this law change you'd be able to do?
Hire people to help as a part-time basis. See, right now, it's family. That's the way the law reads, is that it's family, so only family can work at it. We have a lot of people, young people, too, and some of the mothers that would like to spend 3 or 4 hours a day. That's the thing. Ours would only go, like, from 7 in the morning to maybe noon, so it's hard. It would just be part-time work, and this is what just fits in with their families.
So you want to hire people. Do you want to, would you still comply with all of the... all of the kind of the noise ordinances, like I think... Like
we don't have... Yeah. Our business doesn't have that. It's hard to explain. Our category falls under like a slaughterhouse, mm-hmm. but we don't do that. The meat comes in and there's absolutely no waste. There's... everything goes out in a finished product. What is it? We grind in a hamburger. We use it. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, there's not something that's going to cause rodents or flies or... anything that's going, you couldn't tell from the outside whether it was a home, and when we have the smokehouse going, it doesn't have as much smoke as somebody with a fireplace. Mm-hmm. And we're right on the river, and the wind carries it away, so it doesn't carry it to somebody's home. It's not even seen from the road. Mm-hmm. Ours is.
Ms. DeBall, I'm kind of trying to figure out now in Portland, how it would be this problem of, say, noise and unusual traffic and parking facilities and those things. Maybe someone else will speak to those kind of issues.
Well, like ours, we wouldn't have that. We'd be parking mm-hmm. on our own. Of course, it's sort of hard. When you're out in the country, it's a lot different than if you were in a town.
Yeah.
You would. Okay. That would be it. Then that's where I think your county or your local government then could set up, or however they do, set up the ordinances so that you have to follow, which we do now.
I see.
We are not allowed to have... retail sales. Ours, we ship it out by UPS, which is all right. There's only one truck once a week that comes up there. So, but it would be different in a city, of course. Neighbors are closer.
Thank you. One more question, Ethel. Two more. Representative Parkinson and Representative Hill.
Maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't, Mr. Balla, but right now, could you say you needed additional storage room or something? Would you be allowed to build another building, say that looked like a garage or a barn or whatever, to store your product in? Would that be allowed?
I believe so. We could expand as long as it fit in with the environment, and as long as in the area that this is, like, our building is of natural wood. The finish is a natural wood finish. That's why I say it does not look like a commercial business. And the doors are like you would use on a house. And the sliding glass windows and all. It's just, and this is what we tried to do. We have to look at it through our front room. So we don't want to look at something that's unsightly either.
Representative Hill.
Ms. DeVall. Currently, it's just your family working in your business. If you hired 2 or 3 more people, that would be legal under the proposed legislation, were it to pass. What's the upward limit, do you think, that would be reasonable? If you continue to expand, you could hire perhaps 5, maybe 10. If you were particularly successful, you could keep expanding. At what point should the line be drawn in your area?
Well, I think that, to me, that's why the areas would have to take that into consideration. Because with ours, we wouldn't have to build a bigger building. Right now, we only work 3 days a week, and it supports my husband, and I, and then our son and his family. But if we get any contracts where we can go, even in more states, we're already in 3 states with what we do now, and that's just a small scale. If we had to hire more people, it'd matter of parking their cars in my yard, and I belong to a lot of community organizations, and I have a lot of cars parked in my yard just for the things that we do in the community, for meetings and things like that. So maybe 2 or 3 times a week would all, you know, you wouldn't be any more than I have right now with all these committees I belong to.
Could you I'm just asking you to kind of give your subjective opinion. When would a home business or a home occupation become a regular small business? Where would the changeover occur? At about what size?
Well, I think, like you said, after if you were hired up to five people, that would, on a part, this is like 3 or 4 hours a day, that really, until you get to where you'd have to hire somebody, 8 hours a day, I would feel, several days a week, more than three, that would be,
okay,
with the end of that, I think then you would have, I think the people that have the business would want to go into a place where you don't have to far to truck things, so far to, because we'd have to travel to Portland for our glass, for our jars and things like that. You have to go clear to Bandon for our meat. So if you were in a more central located, when you got bigger, where you're using a larger quantity of these things, it would be to your advantage to move into an industrial zone.
Thank you.
Representative Parkinson.
A question for staff, maybe, Madam Chairman, but on line 15, the first page, would this be determined as the bill is written by the counties? Would they regulate the size or when it would cease to be a cottage industry? Is that right, Beth?
By reading the language, it looks like that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thomas Hedgespeets? I probably followed up your name, too. Welcome.
Madam Chairperson, that's all right. I've been called lots of things. I'm Thomas E. Hedgepath, and I reside in Reedsport, Oregon, and I'm representing the Lower Umpqua Chamber of Commerce and also the Umpqua Port Commission. I also serve as the chairman of the Reedsport City Planning Commission. I would like to speak in favor of this bill. So far, you representatives have raised some questions, and the question of reasonableness is a valid question, and also land use compatibility is a valid question. We found in the city of Reedsport, excuse me, when we were developing our policies towards residential land use and also commercial and industrial land use, we put rather strong policies in there that stated that each category of land use would be set aside and protected for that particular use. And we did one thing quickly. We drove underground a good many of industries or businesses or occupations that were being carried on in the homes that were there all the time. And we were saying that they couldn't continue or expand or anything. And they were there operating and causing no problems. So once you drive them underground, of course, you lose control. And then you begin running into the problem of land use compatibility. So we recognized this, and we went back and removed some real strong policy statements. We also enacted a homeowner's occupation ordinance that does permit home occupations. And we have in there rather stringent controls so that if you're in a residential neighborhood, that your occupation would not change the character of a residential neighborhood. The various uses, some various uses were discussed, and we have various limitations on each one of those types of uses. And then we also have the Planning Commission, it's a conditional use permit. We have a review process if we have complaints, and we have the right to set unspecified conditions to make sure that what wanted to be done as an occupation would not change the character or would the neighborhood or would not cause land use incompatibility. So far, it has been working very successful. We have found out that we were probably more stringent in our conditions than needed to be, and most of the problems that we have had with it, the ordinance was going back and giving variances to the standards or the control that we, the numbers that we placed on that. So from our experience at the city level, it's been working very well. And as a port commissioner and a member of the Chamber of Commerce, we would like to see the people to be able to develop ideas and test them, the marketability of these ideas. And then as the business grows, have to come into the proper area for whatever their business or occupation or industry would demand for future growth. And it is a way of doing things that need to be done and testing new ideas. And we also have occupations that have been going on for years and out in these areas, and they're not incompatible, but yet we somehow have ruled them out or any reasonable expansion of them in those areas. So we support the bill and would hope that you would pass the bill.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And Representative Bradbury.
Just a question. As some of the other committee members have indicated, there might be a problem in applying this bill to every residential zone in the state. Who knows? The Portland residential zones may be very different than our residential zone.
Yes.
What would your thought be about having a bill that enabled the local government to see your city of Reedsport's already doing it? So I guess my question is, what's preventing local governments from doing this now?
I think your exclusive land, your law on exclusive land use, farm use, and forest use practices.
Okay. So if we passed a law that enabled.
They will want more space. Are they? I'm a little concerned that since it started in the home, they may want to stay there on that farmland perhaps and expand to 20 people on the farmland rather than moving to the industrial park. At what point should they make the decision to stay and be small or move and grow? How big should it be when they make that decision?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I really don't know at what point they become a large employer. I think that has to be addressed by your committee, and I don't have the answer for you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming up today. Paul Howard.
Madam Chairperson and committee, I'm sorry I got out of hand. I was getting carried away with my 14 years in planning for cities and counties. And
that's all right.
And some of the things we're dealing with today aren't embedded in the state
Paul,
statutes.
Paul, did you give your name for the record?
Paul Howard.
Thank you.
I'm with the Council of Governments in Douglas County, ERCOG. Some of the things we're dealing with aren't embedded in state statutes. They're traditional zoning law that counties and cities have incorporated in their ordinances several years ago. And the kind of things that the LCDC goals and guidelines don't really deal with because it's day-to-day kind of housekeeping type of issues. And the cities, for the most part, have a good handle on the home occupations through the use of conditional use permits. As Mr. Hedgepath has indicated in Reedsport's community I work with, they have the ability to deal with that on most of their areas in the community. The problem is in the fringe areas around communities, in their urban growth areas, and in the rural areas that the counties have, the 5-acre, 20-acre, 40-acre, and larger parcels where a lot of these cottage industries initiate, they don't have an effective way to be recognized and go and work with the county on a day-to-day basis because basically they're not permitted in most instances. So what they've become a backyard type of operation, and it's been very difficult for them to openly advertise or exchange vendors' cards with other similar operations, even in our county. So what the county, and I worked with them the last year on this particular issue, what they felt is probably the most appropriate thing is to recognize in the state law that you can have home occupations with perhaps a limit or a number of employees, but the county then would have the opportunity to deal with this on their own requirements as to what the intensity of the use would be and the types of requirements that these people probably aren't fully aware of right now they have to conform with. These standards already exist for DEQ, for air quality and noise quality. It's a matter of the county letting these people know officially when they come in for a permit what the requirements are, and then those people, both the employer and the county, know what the situation is. It gives them much better grasp of the problem, and they can work with these people. the Coos Cary Douglas Economic Development District, our local chambers would be happy to help these people get some assistance and guidance in terms of the standards, the requirements, labor practices, and a lot of these things. But many of these companies are afraid to come out of the closets, to speak, to actually get that recognition. So that's why we put the emphasis on the rural areas and farm and ag lands and forest lands in some cases, because that's where many of these people have gone to develop. They've used existing barns like our carriage works and some of the boat people that build three or four metal boats a year for drifting on the rivers. Most all their sales are off-premise. Very few sales occur on-premise, but they're the kind of industry that can only be handled on large properties. Otherwise, they create conflicts if they're in a city-type situation where you're on small residential parcels. So I think that we're just trying to indicate that it would be appropriate to have the counties as a group recognize that they already have these things, but they need to address them and perhaps allow some flexibility in terms of the number of employees and the type of occupations that are carried on as a home occupation. One of the issues that was raised recently, I just found out, was that it's frequently very difficult for a person that has a 40-acre piece of property to sell his enterprise on that property and remain on the property. He has to sell the whole thing as one package. Otherwise, it becomes a non-conforming use and illegal in essence, because the people that would be running the business would be not family members on the property. It would be off-premise owners.
Paul, one question. If a person has sitting on 40 acres, 60 acres, and using it as a farm, how much time do they have to run on an industry on the side?
Well, I've been confronted with that myself. I've been trying to get into the grape business, and it's interesting because many of the people that have these 40 and 60 acre pieces are employed off-premise. They're not employed, I mean, in other words, their farm activity is not why they're there. It's kind of a nice setting. They utilize the ground for raising sheep or cattle. It's not what you call intensively farmed, but it is utilized. And there's many of these people that have these types of operations in our area that do have the ground for grazing purposes, because mainly that's what our particular county is a grazing type of thing for sheep or cattle. So in those kind of situations, the people would probably be more able to operate their farm since they are there on site. Many of the people I know in Lane County that I work with frequently, other professionals, they have to travel 30 or 40 miles for the same type of opportunity we get right in our immediate area. So it's much more convenient. If you had your business on site, you can do a better job, actually, I think, at providing better stewardship for the farming. I think in our county we have about six or eight full-time farm operations where people are actually making their living on the farm. Most people have to travel out to the mill to work or something else, which really takes away from their effectiveness at operating.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you coming in. Joe Wilson? Welcome.
Welcome. I'm Joe Wilson. I'm the president of the Douglas County Chambers of Commerce, and I think that most everything has been said, and we're running over an hour. I think that I would say that I agree with them all. We've spent a lot of time touring and many hours of talking to people that do have these little industries. They're very competent people. Many of them have come from large companies all over the state of Oregon and all over California and all over the world, I guess you might say. And we ran into some very, very unique cottage industries. And we believe that something should be done in this respect. And I would just say that I'm in favor of it, and we won't take up any of your time.
That's very nice. Thank you. I appreciate it. Leonard and Dorothy Tennell. From Sutherland Chamber.
Right.
I'm Leonard Tunnell from the Sutherland. I'm president of the Sutherland Chamber of Commerce, and I would just like to say that in lieu of time, I do agree with the other people who have spoke and feel that this law is a legitimate request, and would help our economy in our area. Of course, that's concerned statewide, but we do agree with it and would like to see this thing passed.
One question, Mr. Tenalis. Would you think it appropriate that the state give the counties enabling legislation so that the counties could then make their own rules so that this could occur?
I think that would probably be the best, because the counties, to me, would know the situation better than on a statewide level. Of course, the law would be a statewide law, but still the counties would be able to control it.
And you would have them do it on a case-by-case
yes,
basis?
Yes, on a case-by-case thing, individual requests.
Thank you very much.
And I'm Dorothy Tunnel, and concur.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Would it be possible somewhere along here to find out what regulation prohibits this now? It would surely help me with the public testimony if I knew what was preventing it now.
Well, after having read the ordinances, I don't know what prohibits it. And we had Ms. Norman in here earlier to answer questions, and then when we saw a lot of people ready to testify, we had her. She went ahead and left. Would you like us to call her back?
I think it'd be kind of nice.
What? Carol, would you like to call down Legislative Council and see if she can come back for a few minutes? Mr. Reed? Hayward Reed? From Roseburg?
I'm Hayward Reed from Roseburg. I'm a real estate broker there. I've become concerned with this bill because of a parcel of land that I showed to a client. It happened to be the parcel at Mitch Hill, and he wanted it for a small wood products, specialty wood products business, where he would use slabs for tables and clocks and other specialty wood things. He made an offer on the property, which the seller accepted, subject to his being able to put the business on it. And in the investigation of it, working with the planning department, it was zoned EFU. I did further research on it, and the assessor had it assessed as a rural parcel. It was zoned light commercial previously, and then at the time in 1978, when the EFU zoning was put on it, it was being used as for a trucking business. And in order to get this done, to get a small business put into that spot, which had no agricultural usage whatsoever for many years, we'd have to go into an amendment to the comprehensive plan and get a zone change for it. And if a bill such as what we're talking about now was valid, was okayed, then it would not have to be an excessive amount of time, waste of time, waste of money and everything else in order to get something like this expedited. I've been listening to some of the comments going on ahead. I concur with them very much. And involving in my investigation of this in the home businesses allowed in the EFU zoning, my understanding of it in Douglas County, I won't say what it is in the other counties, but in Douglas County, you are only allowed to have 500 square feet allowable for your home business. If you're not allowed to have any more than that.
Mr. Reed, but that is a county ordinance and not a state ordinance.
That's right. No, I don't know what it is in the other counties. I'm just saying, yeah. But I just wanted to bring out the fact that in our particular county, the home businesses, either by the one person or by the family members whatsoever, are only allowed to have 500 square feet, which is so small that it makes practically all of them illegal.
Thank you. Good. Representative Hill.
Very brief. Was your client who was interested in the property going to hire outside help for his business? Is that why he needed...
Yeah, he would... This is a small wood products deal. It's not a major deal at all. It's just a small one.
Was he planning on hiring an assistant?
He would probably, in terms of hiring, anywhere from 3 to 4 people.
Okay, thank
at
you.
A maximum of 5.
Thank you very much, Mr. Scanlon. Phil Scanlon. I will have to say the committee assistant really does appreciate all those that bring written testimony. It helps when she does the tapes.
Madam Chairperson, you can thank Peg Jolin for that. She's okay. The one that told me to get that done. I don't feel that there's too much necessity for me to go over the full thing that was written up on that, but I was the president of the Douglas County Chamber of Commerce and Associates at the time that this got started and kept moving forward. And as I see it, why, it is a good piece of legislation that is pretty well needed to have some sort of a control and a means of knowing what direction your county is going to go, and also having a area that people can be employed and give the home type industries an opportunity to get themselves started within the dollars that they can afford. I noticed on the back of that sheet that I put out there, it has toy stamp maker wins honor, and you'll notice that it is the governor giving an award to what started out as a business in their garage. And this is the same thing that is happening with an awful lot of them. I think as soon as a business gets size enough on it that they're going to employ very many people, they're going to start moving into areas that are set aside for that purpose. Particularly, you have fire protection and police protection and things like that that they all consider. The economics become such that they can afford to go into to most of those areas. But in my experience now, when I came down the line on seeing what had happened, I wrote in here just roughly what happens between my home and going to my office, which is about 11 miles that I drive daily. And it refers to the different businesses that I go past that really are what I would consider cottage industries. They're there, they exist, they've been there for a good long time in most cases, but there is always just a little bit of a threat of whether they're legally there or whether they're doing something that is not particularly allowed on land that's set aside as farm use or forest use land. So I would recommend that you pass this on forward and end up with a law out of it, however, whatever process that it takes to do it.
Thank you very much.
If there's any questions on the deal, about the only thing that when you referred to the uses of the land and having it set aside for farm use, I want you to know that recently I was informed by some police authorities that pretty well insisted they knew what they was talking about, and they tell me that the average amount of income you're going to receive off of an acre of corn is somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 net. That's at the best years. And they tell me you can take one room in your house now and get between $15,000 and $20,000 of raising another crop that they have under grow lights. So.
I hope that, is that what we're talking about? By
it was referred to.
I know, but by cottage industries?
That's allowable.
That's what I'm afraid of. Sure. Thank you. We have Elizabeth.
Is that Andy's intent with the bill?
You wanted to testify this, John?
I don't think I really have anything to add.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth is here to answer some questions that I know I have and Representative Parkinson had. Representative Parkinson?
Yes, well, my question was just exactly, I think maybe you found the answer since, but just exactly what is there in state law, rules, or regulations that have prohibited this?
There's nothing currently in state law that would prohibit or regulate the number of people that can work in a home occupation. That's local ordinances.
You mean they can hire people right now?
The local ordinances, most of them limit who you can hire to relatives or people who are living in the dwelling that the home occupation is being done in. But that's a local ordinance matter, and there's nothing that I know of in state law that says they that local ordinances have to restrict it that way.
Okay, just pursue it a little bit. In other words, as long as it's done in the home, a resident owns the business, he could hire someone that lived down the street to work for him?
It would depend on the local ordinance. I think most ordinances say that they can't, but there's no state law that says those ordinances have to be written that way.
And I do know for a fact, Representative Parkinson, some do allow other than relatives to come in and work in that.
Some do it by numbers. They say that you can have one employee that works part-time or...
Madam Chair,
Representative Parkinson.
Page 2, line 28, Elizabeth. That says by the resident, and that's being deleted. Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I'm really puzzled then. Because this is permissive legislation. It isn't mandatory by any... first page in line 5, it says may be established. Well, I really don't... I guess I'm more confused now than I was before.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question along the same line?
Yes, and then I'll ask a question. Representative True.
Essentially, Andy, are you asking for legislation to prohibit local governments from being able to have these kinds of ordinances at the local level? Are we basically, state law doesn't speak to the question, so now we're asking state law to prohibit local governments from being able to adopt ordinances similar to the ones that Elizabeth described occur in Oregon?
Representative, no, I'm a firm believer in local option I guess we are addressing the question as to what we can exactly come up with in the way of legislation here. It's been a problem. There's not one state out of 50 states that have a cottage industry law, and I think it needs to be brought to the attention, particularly on the county level, that all those people are out there and by their own ordinance are illegal.
Then why do we need a law at the state level if the state isn't the problem? If it's the counties that are the problems, why aren't we dealing with this at the county level rather than attempting to have the state step in and dictate to counties what they may and may not do on this particular issue?
Well, maybe it's a misconception. I think there's a fear out there that in the plan acknowledgments and all these things that if they had some ordinances in place that would allow these home occupations with so many people that were in violation of certain zonings, that those plans would not be acknowledged. And I think that has to be cleared up. Is allowing home occupations up to 5 people, let's say, in agriculture or forest areas consistent with a goal? I think that has the state, that's the state question that has to be answered.
Well, I think one of the things for all the committee members that we're going to have to do when we go into a work session with is, first of all, have, despite what was said today, have someone from LCDC come in. I think we need to have someone from the counties come in. And I guess most of the people that came and testified for this bill today were from Roseburg, Douglas County, not all. And I guess I would like to ask someone from Douglas County if they have been in front of their county commissioners. Now, I know I talked to Doc Stevenson, and he said he'd like the bill. But my question is, oh, that's not Douglas County, Doc Stevenson. Mm-hmm. Wrong county, but close. Pardon me. But has somebody from Douglas County, have they been to the county commissioners? Have you asked for a change in this? Would be my first question from all of you. And my second question, before you answer that, is to get to Elizabeth, who has a meeting with the Attorney General at 3 o'clock. Does this bill mandate local government to allow home occupation in any zone, and that it may have put conditions on it, but it must allow home occupations? Is this a mandate that it must allow home occupations, but then gives them, once they allow that, gives them the conditions under which they allow it?
The intent, at least of what I drafted, was to say that it may be allowed in any zone.
But do we mandate that it...
I think that the way it is written, that it could be construed to do that, yes, to say you've got to allow it in every zone, and that maybe that could be clarified.
Okay. Any other questions for Elizabeth? We must leave you in a couple of minutes.
Madam Chairperson?
Representative Priestley.
Dr. Elizabeth, I was going to ask that man that wanted to say something again what he wanted to say.
That's Mr. Howard.
If he had something to explain this to us, why we're kind of puzzled here.
Yes, you need to come forward and you need to give us your name. Any other questions for Elizabeth before she leaves?
Madam Chair, I would like to ask that Elizabeth might address at some point, line 28, 29, page 2, why we're deleting that residential.
Yes, I don't understand that either. And
maybe not.
Very quickly, I can just say that is a very narrow provision that allowed home occupations under certain conditions. Since Section 2 is much broader, that one's being deleted, as it would just be a redundant sort of small piece of the whole picture.
Okay. Any representative?
One further, right quick. Don't you think that it's possible that some counties have interpreted that to draw those ordinances that they've drawn to mean that no one else other than a resident could work in those home occupations?
I don't know that. I was just, it's been explained to me that the home occupations ordinances were drafted in most cases long before the goals and the current land use program.
So the goals haven't really, to your knowledge, haven't changed those ordinances about cottage industries or home occupation?
That's what has been told to me,
okay.
Yes.
Mr. Howard, did you have a couple remarks, and can you answer my question? Have you gone to the county commissioners and asked for a change in their ordinance?
Okay. My name is Paul Howard. I have discussed this with the county planning staff because I know the county commissioners have discussed it with our county chambers, and they are supportive of it. The problem is I wanted to find out from a county planning department what problems they saw in the this proposed piece of legislation. The issue is one of where many counties have drafted zoning ordinances 15 and 20 years ago, and they basically still have those same zoning ordinances. Those zoning ordinances were the plan. They did everything to deal with land use issues. Since the LCDC goals are in place and our plan is acknowledged in our county, that planning function now, the comprehensive plan, does a significant amount of what used to be a zoning issue. So some of the ordinances, and ordinance in particular, still has some of the old elements in it that are carryovers from the day when you had to be very specific and control those external or those home accessory activities very tightly. Otherwise, you'd lose the whole ballgame. Our county, in speaking to the staff people, are concerned when they were in the acknowledgement process, if we modified our ordinance and opened up the home occupation thing, they felt that they might be in goal violation of the ag goal and the forest goal, and therefore they would not get acknowledgement. Now, that's still a concern with many counties. They've had a problem with this in EFU zones, especially in forest zones. If they allow accessory uses that appear to be somewhat beyond the norm, they could be taken to task and their plan could be upheld or suspended, and that's a real concern.
Paul, are you aware of any, and probably not a fair question to ask you, we need some other people in here. Are you aware of any county that has gone in to have their plan acknowledged because they had allowed cottage industry, home occupation, that they have been told to go back to the drawing board with their plan?
My knowledge, the four counties I'm familiar with have had those sections, the forest and ag sections, held up
in their zoning and their plan until they made some modifications.
But well, I know that occurs, yeah. But was it because of home occupation? My question. And well, have you gone, you went to talk to the planners, but have any group of you, I mean the chamber, anybody else, have you gone to the county commissioners and said we'd like to change this?
Well, I have talked to the county commissioners. They've said the only way they would review a recommendation would be from their planning staff. That's the way they've addressed it to me personally.
Thank you very much. With that, we will close the hearing on House Bill 2625. We are going to take a short 5-minute recess and then open the hearing on just a minute. 2741. At House Bill 2741, we have Representative Simpson. Can we get him in here? Mr. Simpson, welcome, Representative Simpson.
I
apologize.
I left all my stuff up at the office, but I won't need it. What's the number of the bill that I'm testifying on?
2741. I'm sorry. It is 2741.
And I was here for some time, and I don't really mind waiting for people who have traveled a long distance. But I did go back up to the office and left the things up there. But that's not important. Madam Chairman and the members of the committee, for the record, I'm Representative Max Simpson from District 59 from Baker, Oregon, and have some rural ties. And I think this bill speaks to some of my beliefs. And you'll notice that I'm the only sponsor on this bill, and yet I'm sure there are others that would have... That would have been a co-sponsor with me had I've asked them. I did not, Madam Chairman, ask them to come on as a sponsor. It's a very...